After years of fine print contract and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if I have learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. Guys, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They don't have retail stores or salespeople. Instead, they deliver premium phone plans directly to you. I honestly thought the plans and pricing were too good to be true. I'm thankful I was wrong. The coverage and reliability with Mint Mobile has been superb. Say bye-bye to overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/chale. That's mintmobile.com/chale. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/chale. $45 up front. Payment required equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. I recently started taking Morning Kick, used and created by former karate champion Chuck Norris. Guys, I've never felt better. By the way, have you seen Chuck lately? It's like he's aging backwards. This guy is still throwing kicks. He's full of energy, and he's in his 80s. This is why I jumped at the shot of taking his revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions. This drink combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other greens out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, and it has hundreds of 5-star reviews. And by the way, I never tell you something tastes a certain way if it doesn't. It tastes just like strawberry lemonade. Since I started drinking Morning Kick, my digestion is smoother, my body looks leaner, I have energy all day, I just feel sharp. I want you to go to roundhouseprovisions.com/chale. Now, that's gonna save you up to 44% off the regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost in energy, and just an overall healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/chale today. What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. UFC 302 is in the books, and coming up on today's show, I'm going to discuss Islam Makhachev's place in the GOAT conversation, as well as where Dustin Poirier may go from here. Plus, Paulo Costa says he's going to change his ways. Let's waste no time, everybody. Let's begin with this. Guys, things are moving quickly. I got to start with that, because when I sat down today, I was going to tell you about the Conor situation. Coming from the perspective of everything I've heard up until the moment I sat down. And you know what? It was all that the UFC had canceled the press conference. No further statement. Apologize to the fans. Out the door. So now we're going to guess and speculate. However, when I sat down, there's a new article that is saying Conor McGregor canceled and Conor McGregor canceled all media that he currently has scheduled leading in to his fight at UFC 303. Okay, while that might be old news to you by now, it takes me about 40 minutes to make this piece, get it, and then get it out to you. So we could just barely be missing each other. And the reason I tell you that is all we got is a guess. Not only is all that we have a guess, once we're revealed the answer, or I should say once that gets revealed to us, particularly if it's through a press statement by a professional PR team, we're still left to guess. We're still going to go, okay, do we choose to believe that? Right? If it's that and that's actually what happened, by the time this comes out, you wouldn't have waited. You wouldn't need to wait. Like, if you were going to go with the truth as your reality, there wouldn't be a need for a team and a huddle up. So I only share with you that it does change my mind a little bit if Connor's the one that pulled the plug. Like, there's just numerous reasons why he could have pulled the plug, right? And it also eliminates some. Here, the moment that this came out, press conferences off, that was misinterpreted by many media, meaning that the fight was off. And that is info that we simply do not have. There are guys in the past, no matter how much you go, what? Why'd you do that? There are guys in the past that have refused media just before a fight. Hey, I'm buckled down and I'm focused. I'm not going down that road. It gets me in. Here's my schedule. I've worked with my trainers, my coaches. I'm zero in, man. I'm 4 weeks away. And I am not going to go and do media. Now, I'm going to treat them all the same. Not going to be nice to our partners, ESPN, while not nice to the .com over here. I'm canceling you all. That would be a very hard bet to make for me. I mean, that just would be a really tough bet. And so then you have if the organization canceled it. And that is where the reports of a positive drug test by Connor came from. That is not accurate, so you know. But before we speculate, if Connor, see, this is where this detail matters. If Connor is the one that canceled the press tour, it would eliminate you of even having a guess, of even throwing a guess at the wall that it was a positive drug test. That would be the organization canceling. Now, is the fight in jeopardy? Is the fight in jeopardy? If Connor is the one that canceled the press and media, I likely believe that's because the fight's together. Because he's focused and zeroing in on the fight. I also believe from a promotional standpoint, and this for sure is a guess, I personally would guess that they would rip that Band-Aid off, right? If they knew the presser was off and the fight was off, they'd drop them both to you. Oh, by the way, they'd do it in reverse order. They'd hit you with the worst news first and give you the bad news second. The very first fight is off. Way down in the little preview, so obviously there's no presser, right? That's the way that would be presented is my guess. I don't think the fight is in jeopardy. Or at least off. And with what limited information we have, the fact that Connor canceled all media, not just the press conference, he canceled it all. It does start to change, again, your guesses, right? Because now it's not a matter of, hey, he woke up and he wasn't feeling well. John Jones had to miss a press conference. I just remember it because Dana White asked Holly Holm where John was. Because they, like, trained the night before. And Holly's like, sick, I guess. I mean, it's one of those things, but I just happen to remember it. So I share with you, Connor has the right to get sick as well. So to not feel well. But going a step further and telling, hey, Audie, cancel all of it. Well, hey, wait a minute, Connor, you know, you're on with Pat McAfee in 9 days. We don't need to cancel that, do we? Cancel all of it. I'm not doing any media until that fight. Okay, Connor, well, what if I find something that's lined up after that fight? So we're using June 29th. Clear your calendar until June 29th. What if it's after that? Well, that wasn't talked about in the press release, but the mere fact that it wasn't mentioned of all media for the rest of his life does make you believe he's starting to zero in. Do you know what focus is, guys? You get told to focus, or maybe you tell other people I'm focused. But do you know what it is? You're not focused unless you're doing this. And you are focused if you do. It's saying no. That's what focus is. When you're getting pulled in different directions, but you're focused on something, you're saying no more often and do other things. I remember Rico Rodriguez did this, and Rico was getting pulled. They wanted books from him. He had people like Vin Diesel showing up to see him fight. And it was one of those things. Hey, stop. Game face. Had a good time, had fun as fighter and main event guy, but now it's all business. I just remember that. That would be unlikely for Conor McGregor to do. But It doesn't mean it wouldn't work. I think Connor enjoys the media. I do. But pulling out and not giving it as a way of getting people talking, I don't feel like that's what this is. Because it's too soon, it's too early. And what a great time, by the way. I mean, I could only personalize, but look at the great work that Conor McGregor has done at press conferences. Now imagine you're going to do one at home. The people you've been trying to make happy, the people that you're hoping see what you're doing and cheer and back you up, they're actually there. They've already bought tickets. They found time off, and now you're going to disappoint them. And that detail in and of itself speaks to something perhaps more nefarious. Look, Conor McGregor, 2 days prior to the announcement of the press conference, told the world that he's in the renegotiation phase by the UFC, that the UFC has reached out to begin those talks. And one of the reasons it was unique, we're trying to figure out what happens with Conor. Where's Conor going to go? Does he want out of his contract? Does he need a carve-out and pursue the Manny Pacquiao boxing, just for example? We're trying to guess. But Conor did reveal for us not only that these negotiations or talks are going on, but that he has 2 fights left on his contract. Now, historically, fighters don't get to that point of the renegotiation until there's 1 fight, and that includes Conor. Conor's had a number of new contracts throughout his tenure in the UFC, but they were always with 1 fight left. Now, the 2 isn't relevant. It's relevant that that was the most interesting part of the story, which is perhaps why I remember it. But then just 2 days later, the announcement, press conference, Ireland, that's everybody's dream. What a great time. What a great and special event, man. What, you recognize the people in the crowd, your cousins over here, your old classmates are here, got the principal sitting. It's just an awesome thing that nobody would want to turn down. And I tell you that because when you marry those 2 together, the contract renegotiation and then the press conference in Ireland, when you put those together, it seems to me that you've either got a deal in principle or you're in very good standing and showing good faith that we are not getting out of the promoting Conor business. We're into promoting Conor, and it's very important, and the smart guys know this. Most do not, but Conor qualifies as a smart guy. There are times in life, I'm going to say this real fast. You're going to have to hear what I'm not saying more than I am, but there's times in life where you're better to sign somebody and never use them than to allow them to be on the free market where a potential competitor would have the opportunity. So if you're McGregor and you're going, okay, am I one of those? Am I going to get paid to sit in the corner? Or am I a guy that you still want to get by, you still want to light a fire? Coming out to Ireland and holding a press conference is incredibly good faith. So does that weigh in? Are those talks not going as well? Moreover, in front of everything, is that fight off? Now, I'll go in a direction we simply don't need to be, but just to throw it out there, if that fight's off, I don't believe in the postponement. I know that that is speculation on a lot of our .coms right now, too. I don't believe it gets postponed and the can gets kicked and we go and do it in November, Madison Square Garden, just by example. I think if that date doesn't work, looks in a different direction, that's a story for another time. But as for Conor and as for the presser, I'd love to give you guys a recap, but it did not take place. Here's what happened. You know, when you have a couple of days to reflect, things start to look different, don't they? Like, I was so impressed with Dustin's performance. And when I find myself speaking about this fight, I just praise Dustin. If I had 10 minutes to speak about it, I would praise Dustin for 9 minutes and 50 seconds. And then I'd say, and if Dustin did that well and never won a single round, just imagine how well Islam did. Like that's the point. The point is how great Dustin looked, how it wasn't 1 foot in and 1 foot out. That was a misunderstanding from the beginning. When Dustin said, I'm not going to reclimb this mountain again, that was misinterpreted for he might be done fighting. So I'm just sharing with you, like, that's not what happened. We had a guy that was a competitor who's as good of a competitor as I have seen, by the way. I mean, Dustin's got his nose, what he believes is crushed. Oh, just that word, right? Just that word alone. And then he finds himself in an armbar. But the order of events are very relevant. Nose crushed. Hasn't won a single round. Caught in an armbar. Okay, that's very simple math. You tap. You know it looks real because it was and it was authentic. He wasn't going to break anything, but you do the scream, you do the tap, you throw your hands up in the air, and people are still going to tell you what a great fight that was. I mean, that's how it ended anyway, guys. It ended in a submission anyway. So if you're in Dustin's shoes and you're losing rounds and it's going from bad to worse and your nose is crushed, and that's before we find out whatever was going on with his knee. I heard that with the shin and the kneecap, and I get squeamish with some of those injuries. But I'll tell you this. So you're going to do the same thing, which appeared inevitable, you're going to have the exact same result, but you can do it 12 minutes earlier. Imagine the pain and suffering that you could protect yourself from enduring, right? I mean, this is pretty simple math. This isn't like a quitter. That's a tough guy. The guy I just described, had he tapped to the armbar after having a crushed nose and out there fighting, he's a very tough guy. And the mythical person that I just described, even in the mythology I laid out, is not as tough as the reality of who Dustin Poirier showed to be. It really was something special. And there was nothing about that performance that you look at and say, he's done. And so often in this sport we do. We only look at outcome. All right, he's lost two of his last three. All right, he was stopped in two of his last three. All right, he just lost to Islam. I mean, it's one of those spots where you go, yeah, but make sure that you have a talent and a skill and you can separate performance from outcome. And there's nothing within that performance where he had slowed down, didn't have the heart, didn't have the grit, didn't have the power, didn't have the IQ, didn't have the desire, didn't have the conditioning. No, man, he checked every single one of those boxes. He gets an A in every category. Islam got an A+. So it's very unique to look at because it didn't take any time for Volkanovski to use Poirier's name coming out of his mouth. Now, Volkanovski just doesn't call guys out. And Volkanovski was very polite about Dustin, but it speaks to many things, including a transition from Volkanovski up to 155 pounds. And see, that's one of the things I think might be a problem. I think that Dustin wants to look at 170, but I've been told by Dustin himself, this was years and years ago, but he said, I'm not going to 170. 55 is enough. He was a 45-pounder. Don't forget that. Like, as we talk about moving up a weight class or getting a fresh coat of paint and doing these things, he already did. That's how we got to 155. And that's a very personal opinion, but when Dustin looks at himself 5 years ago, guys, things can be different. But I'm just sharing for you, I don't know if Dustin's going to go to 170. And there are some super fights out there, and that is what Volkanovski would represent. I just don't know the UFC's appetite for super fights. And nobody does. You know, every now and then, I would put James Toney as a super fight. I would put CM Punk as a super fight, right? When you have an organization that is deadlocked on the idea that this is only for champions and future champions, which means once it's been demonstrated or displayed that you do not have the ability to be a future champion, you're not fighting there. That's a broad stroke, but boy, that stroke's not that broad. So could you do a Dustin and Volk? All right, one thing you would know about that fight is this is not going to matter to the rankings. It's not going to get you a step closer to the title. So would you do a fight like that? And I hope the answer is yes. By the way, I think there's places to go. I think Dustin versus Colby works all day long, just to throw out an example for you. And when you're looking at Islam, who says, I want to go to 170. This is my dream. This is my dream, to be able to do champ, champ type things. We can't dismiss that idea as quickly as we generally can. When somebody starts calling for a different division, first off, we kind of get bored and go, hey, handle your business here to start with. But secondly, it just doesn't happen very often. You're wasting your time on a call out, but we can't say that to Islam. We can't say that because we got armed with the fact that he was offered a title fight at 170 opposite Leon for UFC 300. Like, once that offer comes out, we lose the ability to say, oh, that's not going to happen, or we'd never do that, or he's not going to get that, or he's not ready for that. Well, if he was ready then he's ready now. And, you know, I saw the rankings, by the way. They put it up on a full screen. And of the guys that are ranked, golly, there was only like two guys that Islam hasn't already fought. And Islam also said, man, I would like a little bit of parity. So if I'm just looking at that, I don't believe that Islam is going to say no. Like if he gets a call and it's Sakari, just for example, I don't believe that he's going to say no. But between now and that phone call, I like the idea of him lobbying for 170. If that's what he's going to do, I don't know how strong he's going to be on this. I don't know if he's going to do follow-ups and be big and strong. I just know in Islam's shoes, to do rematches is not the top of your list. Particularly if your dream is to go to 170. Because what you're demonstrating before I can go to 170 is that I've cleaned out 155. Well, if I'm doing rematches with guys, Sir Karrion a second time, they booked Charles a second time, did Volkanovski a second time, then that's evidence that you cleaned out a division. And I would be open to hearing his ideas or the potential ideas or who he's got in mind up at those other weight classes. I think it's fun. I think it's a fun topic. And I think of everything that we saw over the weekend, boy, did Dustin look tough. Boy, did Dustin look good. And I would remind you with a few seconds I had left, Dustin lost the fight by finish to a better fighter. And that's Islam. Islam, John Jones, Dana White. Okay. I love this stuff. I really do. Dana's at a press conference for Islam. So Dana's going to shine up Islam. That's the way that that goes. And that's true in any other sport. The problem, we're making that prediction in ours, is Dana's going to ask the question that gets asked of him. He does not show up. Dana does not show up to those press conferences to do PR, to do a spin. He shows up to answer the questions that they ask of him. And it was very interesting to hear Dana on the heels of seeing Islam, which was given fight of the night. I'm sitting with Brett Okamoko and Laura Sanko watching it. Brett is telling Laura and I that's the best fight of the year. Laura had to remind him of Max versus Gaethje. Brett reflected and still took Dustin versus Islam. So when you're on the back heels of all of that, you're kind of drunk with excitement, recency bias. Dana said, no, best fighter in the world, pound for pound. You can't say Islam. You can't say anybody. You have to say John Jones. Have to. Here's what he did. He laid it out real fast. Cleaned out 205, took 3 years off, comes back. Not only does it look worse, he looks better. Stops the best heavyweight in the world, takes his belt too. Okay. It's enough. Your A to Z on John Jones and his talents, you could go a little bit longer than that, but fair enough. Yes, 205-pound champion, heavyweight champion. Easy over here, easy over there. I agree. Well, John weighed in on that. Because many people pushed back, wanted to give Islam his shine. I love when John does this. Of all the things he does, this is amongst my favorite. Because he shows that competitor inside. And this is the second time that this team and camp have attempted to leap John Jones. And it is this two for two that John has said, oh, no, you don't. You might remember in Khabib's retirement, in the retirement speech, he asked the rankings committee, hey, the one thing I've never done, and this is my last chance. I will never have this chance, but on Tuesday morning when the rankings come out, I am number one pound for pound. He asked them. And they said yes, and they did it. Now, that is official. Khabib could take that to his grandkids, but John pushed back. John pushed back to the seemingly off-limits Khabib, not to mention loss of Khabib's father, not to mention the end of Khabib's career, not to mention he's a smaller guy that's always shown John respect. John stepped on all of them and said, I'm taking all the credit for something I deserve, and I deserve to be number one. And there was something about that that was so interesting to me. So now you've got Islam doing the same thing. And talking about, man, I'm more active, I'm more busy, of course it's me. I'm in the glamour division of 155. Like, Islam's arguments are really strong. They're really solid. I just like the idea, without waning an opinion on this, I like the idea that that's worth fighting for from John. So many other GOATs, so many other guys that have been asked if they're the GOAT won't answer the question. They want you to come to the conclusion of yes, But they'll do it, right? The Jordans and the LeBrons and the Kobe's, they'll do it, rest his soul. They'll be talking about, oh, how great these other guys were in my time, in my era. I just try to do the best I can. I maximize hard work every single day. They do things like that to leave you with the conclusion that they are, but they won't come out and say it. And they won't come out and say it, and it's not the politeness or the sportsmanship that it comes across as. They can't do it because of the fear of rejection. And I assure you, when John did it to Khabib, or even when John's doing it now discussing Islam, I assure you, he's feeling it. He's getting the fear of rejection. I assure you. But John's not afraid of that. That's mine. I did that. I earned that. I worked hard for it. This is how I got it, but it's mine. And I'm not letting you have it. Which includes ideas and opinions and a top name and a column. I'm going to be in that same column. It's just going to be in flipped order, not on my watch. And there's something about that that gets real interesting. Because so many times we have to ask ourselves, what keeps John going? There's only a few people we've had to do that with. Connor's one of them. Connor has to deal with that every single day. Hey, man, what keeps this guy going? What about Marvin Hagler's expression? You know, can't wake up in silk pajamas, go run 5 miles. Do you guys know that Marvin Hagler said that? You can't wake up in silk pajamas and go run 5 miles, right? Meaning a rich man can't fight. Do you know Marvin said that? You probably know that because the media has told you 100 times Marvin said it, except he didn't. Sugar Ray Leonard said that, just to correct that. A lot of truth, though. Connor gets asked about that constantly. Where's your drive? What's your motivation? The great Mirko Krokop met Randy Couture, and same weight class, both having these super high levels of success, but Randy was older. And as Mirko was entering that phase, that's what Krokop asked him about. Not about wrestling, not about dirty boxing. He said, Randy, how are you staying so motivated? How are you keeping that hunger and that drive? Brett Favre came out, asked Randy the exact same question. And trying to find somebody's motivation or drive when we put ourselves in their shoes and say, well, this is what I would have done. Sometimes it can be really tough. Sometimes it really can. With the greats, what does drive them? What keeps them going? Why are you still doing this? And you've only got a couple of options, guys. You got the money and you got the accomplishment. And the money isn't going to be as strong as the accomplishment, but it's okay to talk about both because it's a prize fight. But I do find it compelling when you find out a guy like John, a guy like Khabib, a guy like Islam, when you find out how important being recognized for what you did, being recognized accurately, and not letting go of that just because it's nice. It's a different level of competitiveness. It's the most interesting thing of this entire story. I don't want you to miss it. Guys, when I started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing on my mind, but now we're selling Bad Guy Inc. merchandise. That includes coffee. That includes t-shirts. Go get yourself a sticker if you would like. And you know what? It's very easy. And that's all because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you to sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's where you go to help your business grow. Whether you're auctioning off autographed apparel or selling custom accessories, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person point-of-sale system, whenever and wherever you're selling from, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers and the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort. Thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I appreciate about Shopify is no matter how big you grow, you don't have to feel overwhelmed by the demand. Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level with ease. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify Supply's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/chail, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/chail right now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/chail. Summer is coming up, and that might mean that you're going to have a little more time on your hands. Why not use it to learn a new language? Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, is here to help you. Some of you may be traveling abroad this summer, and you might want to experience that country beyond just the touristy type spots. Your experience could be upgraded just by learning the native language. Now you can download the Rosetta Stone app to your phone or tablet and learn on the go while driving, riding on the subway, running on a treadmill, or even laying poolside with just a 10-minute lesson per day. Rosetta Stone's lessons are designed for long-term retention of language skills rather than short-term memorization. The focus of the program is preparing you for real, authentic conversations, not just knowing a couple of translations. It's like having your own personal trainer for language learning. Rosetta Stone has been used by millions of people for over 3 decades. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started for a limited time. My listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/ today. That's 50% off. Unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. That's a steal. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/ today. As spring makes its way into summer, there will be more outdoor festivals and concerts happening all around us. And if you're in the market for some new attire, let Tecovas help you out. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. I've seen some youngsters out there pull off wearing a nice pair of Tecovas ostrich boots with shorts. I've worn mine to a UFC event with a full suit head to toe. There is no limit to how you can wear a pair of boots, and the best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you're going to be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Go on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Tecovas also offers custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. Armon Sarukian. I'm very interested in Sarukian. I got to see his fight with Charles up close. And I get it now on Charles. I get why you guys love him. I get why he's so good. And I share that perspective because it was a big eye-opening moment for me. And Armin beat him. You can imagine now how good Armin looks. And then when you get the backstory on Sarukian, and you're going to have to tell people the backstory. Like, Armin is so close to this, he's not going to be able to see that. He's not going to know that the average fan does not know he's already fought Islam. As a matter of fact, the average UFC fan doesn't know he fought Islam. It's just one of those things where that match happened and it was a different time. They don't know he took it on short notice. See, this is what's so relevant. If they don't even know that they fought him, and whether you accept that as absolute truth or not, but if I get you close, well, then if I back off and say, fought him on short notice, of course you're not going to know. If I tell you he fought him on short notice in 5 rounds and 1 rounds, they're not going to know that. It's a very interesting match. Sarukian versus Islam in a rematch where Armin has notice. And the reason I tell you that is it was a surprise for me when Sarukian turned the fight down that Dustin just got done doing with Islam. It's a surprise because we know he's willing to do things on short notice. In fact, we know he's willing to fight Islam on short notice. In fact, we know he's willing to fight Islam on short notice for 5 rounds. He's already done all of these things. And it's hard to get Islam interested in a rematch. We know that because Islam doesn't tell us very much, but he told us that. It's one of the only things he's ever told us. I don't want to do rematches. So now we know we got a little bit of an uphill battle here. And when the number one contendership came down to Charles versus Sirkarian, who had both already fought Islam, like, Islam's going to have to deal with that whole rematch thing he doesn't want to deal with, one way or the other. So my guess was, if you can get Islam on board, you can get the promotion there. Boom, you run with the fight. But it was actually Sirkarian that said, pause. I want to do it right. I want just a little bit more time. Now, there's not a whole lot that can go bad for Armin at 155 pounds. Like, just the way that division's kind of changed, where Gaethje took a loss, Poirier moved in a different direction, but now comes off that board. And what's Charles going to do? Volkanovski has moved back down. Like, there's not a lot that you can do in terms of changing the landscape to make an argument that perhaps Sirkarian is not next. There's not a lot, but there are things. I mean, by example, just a narrative, just an idea of another 55-pounder. That and that alone puts that 55-pounder in the finals against Sirkarian. Right? Like, if you're going to the media, Sirkarian's already there to take on Islam next, but that's not hot. You can't find that headline. If you were to find an headline, it would say that, but it's not red hot. So that's where I'm at. If any 55-pounder just says it, he puts himself head-to-head with Armin. And when you turn to Islam in the ring, who doesn't call you out, that's where the beginning of the problems are, right? Like, this doesn't have any more momentum, but it's got all the pieces that, if it had momentum, could really go in a different direction. You guys will remember. But Merab confronted Sean O'Malley after 299. O'Malley beats Cheeto, gets the microphone, calls out Ilia Topuria, doesn't even address Merab, who's in the front row, hoping to pop in there and have a face-to-face. Merab gets in the back, says, say my name. Merab was not talking trash. Merab was legitimately realizing, hey, you didn't say my name. You said you'd fight me. You called me the short guy and you called me the so-and-so, but you didn't say my name. You left me. I got left out. I've flown here. I was the backup fighter. He was being very sincere when he told Sean, say my name. So there is no steam added to Islam versus Armin. None. And whatever that was and however you felt about it, okay, great. But nothing got added over the weekend. Now the good news for Armin and company is nobody else has inserted themselves, so he's still sitting in a pretty good position. But Islam's making it pretty clear, I'd like to go to 170. Now, you're not going to go to 170. It's got to be, something's got to be on that, right? It's got to be something special. Now, it could be personal. It could be a call out. It could be me versus you, Leon, and you know what this is about, and so do I. And this is the match. I don't want anybody else. I want Leon. That is very different, but that's just not what happened. So when you float the idea of 170, you say, this is what I would like, you're now essentially telling the decision makers that this is your request. It's very different. You're not going to get the fans behind you. Like, no fan is going to the internet and going, oh my gosh, did you see what Islam said about Leon? Did you see? Oh my God. Well, what did he say? No, I missed it. Well, he didn't say Islam specifically, but or Leon, but he said he wanted to go to 170 where Leon, that's Leon's weight. So, I mean, it's like he was, boy, it's just like he was calling Leon out. Well, wait a minute. Did he call Leon out or not? Well, no, but he said that he liked to move. I mean, do you see where it changes? And I'm only suggesting for you, at some point, Islam's not going to make 155, guys. And that cost Khabib his career. I mean, that's the one thing that when they were renegotiating with Khabib, they failed to understand and did not address, which was, my days of training are not behind me. My days of living this lifestyle and being part of this sport and coming to these events, none of these things are behind me. My days of being great and having that competitive hunger, none of those things are behind me. My days of weighing it at 155 pounds are gone. And I don't know that you would have got Khabib for number 30 or not. I don't know. But I will share for you, you would have got yourself further down the line in the conversation had you understood that was one of the big problems, if not number one. And it's the same with most combat athletes. They'll retire and they're hanging their hat on something, but the truth is, it's the scale. That's the truth. Nothing makes guys retire more than that. But a lot of times the guy's not aware. The guy doesn't even know that about himself. He'll talk about, well, the trainer, the lifestyle, I'm getting older. Well, it's not the training and the lifestyle. It's the training and the lifestyle in a calorie deficit to make the weight class. I mean, I'm sharing this with you because it's not an option of is Islam going to go to 170? Yes, for sure. Or you might end up doing to him what we did to Khabib, where it just retires him completely. So I think we should embrace that idea. Whether it's upon us and we're there or not, it's one of these things where as much as Islam is being sweet and kind as he says it, right now he's asking you. But there's going to come a time where he tells you. And if you tell him no, you might get a result that you're not planning on. Sean Strickland, Paulo Costa, couple days removed. What do you guys think? Because you want to know something? This was very hard for both of those guys. I mean, first and foremost, if you're doing an X's and O's breakdown of that fight, it's very hard for Paulo Costa. Why? Well, because he ran backwards for 25 minutes. And you want to know why that's hard? Because he's never ran backwards for 25 minutes. I'm talking about including in the practice room. He did not have partners that are coming after him and got him going backwards. So now you're trying something new. How well would you guys do? They'll say LeBron's out there playing, he's right-handed, but for one game, he's going to go out there and he's going to play, and he's going to do it left-handed. Oh, by the way, he never practiced. He made this decision right when he walked on the court. You know how awkward that's going to be? Yeah, he's good enough. He's skilled enough. He might even have some fun with it. He might even get some buckets in there. It might be something to watch, but you know how awkward that's going to be? And why? Because that's not how he prepared. It's not how he's practiced. It's not something he's done before. So try meeting that criterion in any sport. Oh, and by the way, do it in live competition. Something you had never practiced, or you never even envisioned it. Your coaches haven't envisioned it. They can't figure out what's going on. But there's two sides to that, which is also Sean Strickland's. Not easy to mount an offense in a direction that you've never had to mount an offense before. Sean Strickland did not go into that fight thinking, I'm going to have to go in a straight line. I'm going to have to cut and go in another straight line. He did not picture any of that. So both of these guys had to make an adjustment on the go. And I tell you that because Paulo Costa didn't like the one he made. You go out and you have a match. You're looking for your athletes and your favorite athlete, or you make a projection of what's going to happen. Their demeanor after the match is wildly important. And if you guys had access to the demeanor of athletes prior to walking out, and you could still hedge a bet over at DraftKings, that's the piece of information you'd want. You would find their approach just prior far more relevant than a face-off you got at the weigh-in the day before. Just to put it in an example. Put in perspective. So when I hear Paulo Costa after that fight, he said, F it. F conserving energy. F said, I'm never going to do it again. And it was a big deal to me. It was a big deal that he was able to recognize what he did and identify it. And it's so few times that a fighter can do that being critical of themselves. They'll blame the referees, the judges, the coach, and injury. I mean, that's the first one to come out, right, is the injury. Paulo Costa blamed his strategy. And I know what he means about F conserving energy. If that is in your mind, that energy business, and am I going to get tired? Am I going to get fatigued? Like, if that is in your mind, you're going to have a real hard time. Now, everybody's out there getting tired, but if that is on your mind and you're thinking, I got to save energy because I don't have enough of it, I'm going to need this in the next round or later in the fight. If you're out there fighting and thinking that way, and there is a piece of a strategy where that becomes very relevant, but if it ever overwhelms you, you're going to have massive problems dealing with it. It's a really, really big deal. So Paul said, I'm done. There's a wrestler, guys, John Smith. The greatest wrestler America's ever had, but he went out in a match, and there was a belief back then, the bank closes at 5, right? You get enough points, you just shut down. Your opponents are watching, they're taking notes, you don't show them anything. John was coming up in this way, there was something called cameras, where somebody could come and record a match. Didn't used to be so, but it is so, and he lives in this time, and therefore don't show you the opponents more than you have to. Save your energy. John shut down. Guy caught him at the end. John came off the mat. He said, I will never shut my offense down again. And he is a world and Olympic champion who would beat guys by 15 points, by 12 points, by 8 points. He would never shut his offense down again, no matter what. And I share that with you because you can make those big changes. And when Paulo Costa came out and said, F conserving energy and strategy, I'm going to just go in and fight, just let it go. Yeah, that's what you have to do. Now, that's everybody's goal. It's harder to get to than it might sound. It's very easy after the fight to make yourself a deal. It's called deal making in the world of psychology. Make yourself promises. It's very easy to do. It's hard to keep them. It's hard to remember. It's hard to remember the emotion that you have right then, which is an emotion, so it goes away. It's a problem with emotions, guys. They change. Versus the emotion of being in the locker room about before you're going to walk out there. It's just different. But Paulo, for right now, he's right. I mean, Paulo came in and named himself the Eraser. I haven't heard him called the Eraser in 2 years. Probably better than that. You guys renamed him the Terminator, and that's the one that the announcers went with. You literally renamed him the Terminator. That's the style that he fought. He would stand his ground or go forward. The end. You ever seen this fight with Yoel Romero? He would stand his ground or go forward. Circle and then it back away. And it was one of those situations where as I was watching, I go, man, he's doing that to conserve energy. But I also know he's never done it before. You know why that's a problem? You'll dump all your energy. You could go do an easier activity than the ones that you're used to. It's easier, but if you haven't done it before and your muscles aren't ready for it, you're going to get a greater fatigue. And I thought it was an interesting fight. I thought that Sean Strickland was fighting for other reasons. He was angry. And Sean wanted to prove I'm the number one contender. Many think I beat Dricus. I did beat Izzy, the two guys that are going to be fighting for the title. I should be able to get in there. And I don't disagree with him. And one thing where you never have to get ready is if you stay ready. And I think that Sean should give a good lookout to fill in for Whitaker or fill in for Chimaev. I mean, that's how the best opportunities present themselves. And some guys think they've done enough and they don't need to go that route. But there's no shame in those routes. They're great. They're strategic. They involve hard work, discipline, planning. And we'll see what happens with Sean. And guys, one of the reasons I give you the analysis of Paulo backing up and Sean having to go chase him down, it is the worst I've ever seen Paulo Costa look. I care about Paulo Costa's career. I care about him as a person and an athlete. There isn't a different way to say it. Like, who's the better fighter between Sean Strickland and Paulo Costa? I don't know. I saw the fight, but who's the better fighter? I don't know, because I didn't see Paulo fight him. And if you have a lapse or you took some judgment or you came up with a master plan that when it was over, you realized I shouldn't have. It was still the worst I've seen Paulo fight. I don't have a different way to say it. So the fact that it was a split decision and somebody came to the opinion that Paulo won that fight is an interesting concept. And you want to know what else? I don't have judgment on that yet. I would listen. I would very much listen to the concept. What is it you saw? Following the rules, number one being damage. So where is it that you saw that Paulo did more damage in these rounds that you gave him? Number two being octagon control, which has never clearly been identified, but we all do believe whatever octagon control means, the opposite of that is running backwards. And I'd be interested. I'd be interested in hearing what part of those criteria were won by Paulo. All right, everybody, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And thank you to Danny, who left a review on Apple Podcasts, and it reads, Chael is the best uncle in the game. I got 99 problems and a podcast ain't one. Thank you, Danny. I appreciate that. Oh, and by the way, I get it. I expect more MMA news in the coming days, and I will make sure I bring you all up to speed on Friday. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
The Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.